Welcome to Rhema for Today.
That got me to thinking. Now, wait just a minute. I never said a lot about it, but I did begin to think about it. Is there an authority? Do we have authority on earth? Does the church have authority? I knew that wasn't just me because I'm a preacher, you see. Do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? You see, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? See, I'm talking about 1947, then 1950. And so I began to study along that line. I began to think along that line, began to feed along that line.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching on the believer's authority. More next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
I'll stop off, take a little side journey here. I remember down in Houston, Texas, many years ago, there still is an evangelistic temple in Houston. But the old original evangelistic temple was built by old brother Ian Ritchie. We called him Dad Ritchie. Many years ago, it sat right close to downtown. The city bought it, and I don't know what they did with it, and they got a new one there now. But Brother Ritchie, I remember reading the headlines of the paper, right on the front page, see, of one of the Houston papers. On Sunday morning, 80-some-odd years old, he was preaching when death came. And the paper stated the headlines of the paper, you see, because he'd been there in the city for years, and this old evangelistic temple in the main auditorium seat 5,000. It mentioned about the fact that he commanded death to see to wait, because everybody heard him right in his sermon, and he stopped and said, "Now you'll have to wait till I finish my sermon." He finished his sermon, and they could hear him over the microphone, you see, and sat down and went home. But when the death angel came, he said, "You'll have to wait till I finish my sermon." Oh, glory to God. "And then I'll go with you." And so he finished his sermon, sat down, went on home. Praise the Lord. Well, my father-in-law, you see, he said, that fellow, he's been saying, "Come on." He said, "I don't rightly know who you are. You'll just have to wait, sir. I'm not quite ready yet." Then he said to me, "You're going to get the children up here," talking about Ken and Pat, his own two grandchildren, who you had to be 12 years of age, you see, or older to get into the hospital, and they were under that age, 9, 10. And I said, "Sure, let me see them before I go." Only grandchildren he had. So I went to the superintendent of the hospital, and they said, "Oh, do anything you want to do. He ought to have been dead 2 days ago. We don't understand how he's lived. Just don't pay any attention to any rules or regulations. Anything, anybody you want in there?" And he was in a large room by himself. And I think that night, I don't know, it's full of people. It was just full of people. And you'd think that he's going on a vacation tomorrow. He was fully alert and talking, you see. I remember when Ken came in about 10, you know, and said, "Papa, I've been praying for you." He said, "I know it, son. I've been praying for you too." Amen. And he never left a sad word. He laughed and talked, you know, just joyous and glad. And you'd have thought, he told everybody, never did tell my wife. She's the only one there. I think he thought, well, I'd cry if I did that. So told everybody goodbye except her, you see. And you'd think he's going on a vacation tomorrow. Now he lapsed into unconsciousness the next day at the same time. And he'd ask them not to give him anything, and so they hadn't. And having experience with death myself, I knew that when death fastened its final throes upon him, if you haven't had a stroke or your brain's not impaired, that you will, when death fastens its final throes, momentarily regain consciousness. And so I was standing at the foot of the bed when suddenly his eyes popped open and he saw me. I knew death fast his final throes upon him. And he said to me, "My God, Kenneth, I'm dying." I said, "I know it, Mr. Rooker. But you're ready to go?" "Yeah," he said, "I'm ready to go." I said, "You're not afraid to go?" He said, "No, I'm not afraid to go." I said, "Lie back on the pillar and let her go." And he just lay back and relaxed. And a smile flashed on his face. And a light flashed across his face. And he took off. Glory to God, he left. He left. See, there's victory even in death. Amen. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, now I said that to you to say this to you. That got me to thinking. Now wait just a minute. I never said a lot about it, but I did begin to think about it. Is there an authority? Do we have authority on earth? Does the church have authority? I knew that wasn't just me because I'm a preacher, you see. Do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? You see, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? See, I'm talking about 1947, then 1950. And so I began to study along that line. I began to think along that line. Began to feed along that line. And I began to see more and more light begin to come along this line. That you see, Jesus, as we've already pointed out to you, did say after he was raised from the dead, all authority, King James says power, the Greek here word really means authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But that authority on the earth has been delegated to the church. So now then I realize this. And I begin to see it. And I remember some years later then we were up in the state of Washington preaching. And my sister called me. My mother was in desperate condition, actually critical condition. And she wanted me to come. Well, I was a little closer to my mother than the other children. I saw after her. Tended her business for her and so on and so forth. And so I didn't know whether my sister is, you know, you can be so close to a situation that you can't be emotional, and she's an emotional type of person. So I called the pastor of the Assembly of God Church that she's a member of, you see, and he said, well, yeah, Brother Hagin, I just came and I believe I'd come home if I was you. She's calling for you and she is critical. And so I talked to the pastor and we decided just to close that night. We'd come on in. And I was in a side room praying, as I would be every night, praying about my meeting, but then I prayed about my mama. And I don't know, I found myself, I remembered then these incidents. You see, and I said, Lord, you know, she's just 69. She'd be, actually 68, be 69 in about a month. And I don't know why I'm saying this to you. I talk to him just like I do a person. He is a person. God help us to get away from all this formality and mess in prayer that isn't prayer at all. Are you listening to me? Just talk to him. I mean, like you would another person, because he is a divine personality and he's your father. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I said to him, I don't know. He said to me as I prayed, he said, yeah, she's going to die. This is it. Well, I knew she's saved all right. I knew she didn't know anything about faith. She'd never heard me preach half a dozen times in life. But I said, I don't know why. But now, dear Lord, I said, I'll never feel right about it. I know this. This is a minimum, really. You promised at least 70 or 80 years or so on. Unless she lived that allotted time out, I'd never feel right about it. The longest day I live upon this earth, I'll never feel right at you. I don't mean I'm going to be mad at you. But I just won't feel right about it. And then throughout all eternity, I'm going to remind you of it every now and then. I don't feel good about that. Now, when I said that to him, just as plain as some man speaking to me, he said, all right, I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll do what you tell me to do. Well, he did just exactly. I said, well, give her at least 80. When she reached her 80th birthday, just a few days after, she went home. He did just what I told him to do about it. More than once, he said to me, whatever you say about it, I'll do. Whatever you say. Well, you better be sure you say the right thing now. Amen. Because you can get in some difficulty. But I said that to say this to you, what started me to thinking along this line. I am convinced that we as a church have authority on the earth that we've never realized yet. That we've only barely touched a little bit of it. Barely got into the edge of it. Hallelujah. We must learn to be exalted to the place where God wants us to be. The church fails too often in her ministry of authority. She don't even know she has any authority. And is bowed down in defeat and overcome with fear. Ephesians 1:22 says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He is head over sickness, disease, and anything that's evil. And all those things are evil. Well, let's reverse the words in order to bring out the true meaning of what he's saying here. You see, he said here that he is, notice this, gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now this reverse the words in order to bring out more clearly the deepest significance. Head to the church over all things. Because that's really what he's saying. Head to the church over all things. His being head over all things is for the church's sake. Can't you see that? We need to sit reverently before those or these mighty truths and their tremendous teaching and grasp it with our hearts, what he's talking about. Praise God forevermore. And once we do, once we grasp the truth in our hearts, we'll reach deep and rich rewards. It is only this kind of an attitude, actually, that the Spirit of truth can lift us into and unveil the truth of God's Word to us, where we can see the meaning of God's revelation and walk in the light of it. God has made Christ to be the head over all things to the church.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering something from all of the Hagin family. First, a newly released USB titled Keys to Peace, which contains 13 messages on peace. Next is Kenneth E. Hagin's inspiring DVD, This is the Day. Additionally, we're offering Pastor Kenneth W. Hagin's must-have book, Jesus, Name Above All Names. And lastly, Craig W. Hagin's CD, Just Believe, will renew your faith. These four items are offered to you for the special price of only $45. To order, call us toll-free, 1-888-FAITH-99. That number again is 1-888-324-8499. Also, feel free to order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so call, write, or email us at partnerservice@rhema.org. Thank you for being a part of the Rhema for Today family. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
The Kenneth Hagin Ministries in Rhema. We have our magazine that comes out about every 6 weeks. It's called The Word of Faith. And you can get this by going online and at rhema.org/WOF. And you can request a hard copy, or you can view it online and download it yourself.
Either one.
And you know, we do mail these out if they request it.
Yes.
I have a little here, heart to heart, in the beginning, thankful thinking is this is the one for October, November here.
Yes.
And then here's Craig, Let Go and Let God.
That's many faith building articles in it.
Yeah, here's all kinds of. There's our Living Faith Conference.
Tell us where we're going to be.
Tell us where we're going to be.
That's right. Yeah.
So we got all these things that we can talk about.
That's right. And seed thoughts. Lots of things. You will enjoy the Word of Faith.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin on the Believer's Authority. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.